Good morning, everybody. I'd like to bring the Berkeley County Board of Commissioners work session to call to order. Mr. Weston, can you give us invocation, pledge allegiance?
Heavenly Father and eternal God, we bow our heads in humble submission to your will. Father, we just ask you, Lord God, to be with us as we do business for the citizens of this county. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, to serve the people here who have who need our assistance, Lord God. Help us be, you know, willing to listen to each other, consider possibilities, and deliver as best we can for the citizens of this great county. Be with us, guide us, and we hope that everything that we do will be pleasing in your sight. We ask these blessings in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson. Okay. Let's see. Mr. Robinson, you have something for us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I need you to join me and cut this cake for the birthday so we can eat while we listen. Got a lemon cake for John Trent's birthday. Follow John. Everybody get around and get some cake before we get some. While we get some.
I just need some bread. Savage. That was nice. What? I know.
Ron Weston, Commissioner Weston, the only guy I know that I can take to lunch. He gets a chef's salad. And then after he eats the chef's salad, because he was on a diet, this is about 8 years ago, he orders apple pie with ice cream on top of it. So I said, that worked really well. He sacrificed for 45 minutes. I patted him on the back. Have a good day.
When your birthday, that's great.
It was actually Saturday. Yeah, the 18th. So. There are so many people on Facebook with this panel. It's unbelievable. Well, thank you very much. Okay. Okay, next thing we want to look at is appointing NACO voting delegate for 2024 annual business meeting in Tampa.
Chairman, you're planning to
attend? I am attending, yes.
I'd like to nominate the chairman to be our voting delegate.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. Okay. Budget amendments. BA number 24/17. Yeah, go ahead.
One thing. Hope everybody got the notice. I think it was Friday about the state meeting now. NCACC, right? It just opened on Friday. Right. So we want to make sure we try to get in the lead hotel if we can.
Absolutely.
So close
yes.
Up early.
Yes, I just need to know exactly who's planning to go and what your preferences for taking any change.
What month is that in?
August.
August, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Today it's, tell you that. August the 8th through the 10th.
Yeah, it's right before school starts. I can't go.
8th through the 10th. I know personally, one, I'd like to come in that day early because I'm on committee.
Right.
So, but then the 10th is fine. We're coming back for maybe.
That's your 10th.
Well, I haven't seen the real event because you and I have the closing event. Sometimes it's late that Saturday evening. But I think I just went there early.
Saturday through the 10th?
Yeah.
Weston? Okay. Then the Commissioner Barber's meeting. So, is that
Hey, buddy. Okay, back to the budget amendments. BA number 24-17, 4-H cooking camp. Has everybody reviewed that?
Yes.
You got something, Dave?
All three of these budget amendments, two of them are because of grants received, they have to go into the budget. The third one is the insurance claim, another insurance claim from the sheriff's office that they want to repair their vehicle, so we have to approve that as well.
Chair, make a motion to approve all those three. All right. Got a motion by Mr. Wesson, second by Mr. Robinson. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, good. All right, next is going to be economic development update by Mr. Franklin Williams.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Give an update on progress that we're making, and we are making progress. We're out of planning, but first major thing I'd like to bring to your attention is Project Sparkle, which is Project Sparkle is online. However, the owners, which are in New Jersey, they have downsized the project a little bit. They don't want to make as much of an investment. And when they downsize, they kind of cut a lot of the state funding, because by downsizing, they do not qualify for this as funding, but they still are interested in coming. They're doing a little work at the time. I believe the appeal is the rail. The railway, doing a lot of work in that. Where it ties into DOT is DOT is responsible, has given a $400,000 grant to beef up those roads to handle that heavy steel and the raw materials that's coming into Orlando. The problem is between DOT and the owners. The owners are kind of taking their time. DOT says, hey, if you don't want to use this money, go ahead and start. We can put it somewhere else and we'll get back around to you. But you kind of know how that goes. Once they get here and need it, then they go, well, you got to wait. So we're doing the best we can to try to tie that marriage together so that we can have something good there. They're looking at starting about 25 jobs, but expanding to about 150. So if we can just get it off the ground and get it started, I think that we'll be okay. Yes, sir.
If you're saying they have a problem with the landowners?
The owners of the company.
Okay.
Yes, sir. They started out with one size of an investment, but then they said they wanted to downsize a little bit. They didn't want to invest as much. And by doing that, when they came in with the big investment, they qualified for a lot of state funding. But by downsizing, they lost a lot of that. So they're kind of taking their time. And the problem is DOT, just making sure that we got the roads adequately so they can handle those big trucks coming in and out of Orlando. And then having the roads to handle raw material.
Okay, I'm sure DOT has police power.
Yes, sir.
Through General Statute 173-36. Because they have a plan in place on the highway, a railway, so they can take the property, place the money in the Kirkwood Court office after the appraisals have been made, and let 12 people decide what the offer fell on.
Yes. I think that the problem is the owners don't want to be passionate. The DOT say, hey, we're ready to do this. The owners are the ones that say, like, we want to only invest a little at the time and get it off the ground. It's going to be a viable project, I believe. It's just waiting it out, making sure that you keep DOT, like, just be patient, you're going to get there. I think we're going to get there. It's just going to take a little time. So that's what Project Sparkle is right now. If you go by there and look at it, probably. You used to be able to get around some buildings. I think they're doing it because you know the railway on the outside of it, get on it, And I was talking with Commissioner Balance about it. We didn't want to do, I think that's what they want to start it, because they're really the most important part of the project. The next thing I want to talk about was grant for the 911 center through congressional directed spending, which is through our congressman, Representative Don Peterson. He's the office, along with Senator Tillis and Senator Byrd. Ability that we need the 911 center, we made that a top priority. Our proposals. Maybe we can top tier, scrutinize now, get to committee, and we should find something out in July. But most of the time, once it hits top tier and goes through, goes towards committee, we're looking at funding it. And we're looking at $1.6 million in funding. Remember the work session we had when we first got here? We talked about repeater stations on top of the schools. It was written into the grant that those repeater stations could be purchased through a grant to be put on top of the schools. It's still going to be about 155 miles, kind of, if we do it emergency director, kind of, it's not yet to a commission that's going to be spent. We also, we submitted through that to the manager asked about the third grant was the Wilderness Center for $200,000. I don't think we're going to do it, but two out of three, that's pretty good.
Since you mentioned Senator Davis, recently he made a reference to the outcome of the district complaint summit.
Yes, sir. I can find out.
The county district did not get any, and we have a housing authority for several of our municipalities. So I asked that of his
assistant. Okay. And that was one of the things that we talked about when I met with Constable Davis here. Was housing, housing is an issue for the county.
Yes, sir.
We have an expanded industrial base here, and people, like I said, that grip is where to pursue the expense. People are looking for housing, and wherever happens, can of course, with emergency, because and the industry is expanding faster than the rest of our infrastructure. So they were very aware of it.
And most of those grants for housing authorities were for repairs and service. And if you look at our housing authority over the past, roofs are wearing, these significant work needs to be done. So I can't imagine how qualified I've seen some of the others, like the ones in Plymouth,
right,
who are substantially in better shape than ours, but yet and still got a significant piece of movement that can be funded. It doesn't seem, I don't quite understand.
All right. I can definitely report that for you. The Sweden of Authority also attended the board of the Airport Authority back then. And right now we're seeking help to expand parallel runway. what that would do would enhance business, more people can support it if you have support big air airplanes, technology, there's a lot of money of selling jet fuel. The last one is that you know, $60 million going to our child, but we didn't get it. So, once again, we got those questions. We ask why our airport is not going to support it. Well, I believe this is going to be right here. Yeah. Right. But I'm also being looking for places to house the airplane. They house the airplane on the property, then that property tax comes to us. Border to try to force that little thing. Another endeavor we spoke about trying to get down to starting our industrial site portfolio. Going to all of these sites and I went around with Commissioner Trent. With that judgment, we have some wonderful sites. We need to tag and identify with the mayor, the owner, all of the information, and put it on the economic development website for the state of North Carolina. The website receives four to five million views a year. And I'm quite sure that somebody is going to choose to go to China to choose our site. If we're out there, but if we're not, they can't choose us. And once we put out whatever we put out there, we need to make sure to identify and give them the information they need concerning the site so they understand what type of site it is. So we found a very starting Jennifer Roxburgh. All the way through the county. Your cotton engineers, those things are great. People love those because it's not a lot of work, not bringing a lot of union labor. So there are a lot of companies that are looking to do business. Companies because of highways. I think we got what it takes. It's just making sure we get out there and get noticed. And then that leads me to housing. Our government consultant, Mr. Murphy, as well as our developers, we have one that's interested in ours, but everybody's schedule, because Mr. Flair, we also teach the class at East Carolina. After the 22nd, everybody's schedule seems like it's coming up. So we were talking today about four sites for housing in this county. Significant. I'm talking about, when I say significant, four sites that are 10 acres, close proximity, that was four high, with third, and I believe it's going to happen. These investors are getting a little bit hungry and antsy, and it's just about time that we can narrow the investor to the landowner and get them to sell at a reasonable price. We'll see housing going up. There's some and close to the project over here. It is beautiful. I had a chance to get through there and look and take pictures and all that. That's a wonderful site that's built up.
A couple things to be aware of. 28th and 29th of May, we have one. As I said, next week, we need to get those the days that they're not going to be able to do that. Okay. One is the 9% money. That's state money.
Okay.
So that's the last thing. But let's not forget that we now have a qualified census tract that went beyond
originally now includes Western Liberty and even South Liberty, all the way to the Willamette River, now a part of the census tract. So that's federal money, and that's where a third come in. It's the only thing to get federal funding. So pursue, if you're close enough in an area to score above 100, right, then that state can buy. Areas outside of that, you know, where that grocery store is or where that drugstore is, it's that HUD money that we have been.
Okay. And so that's pretty much that. We have a couple of entrepreneurs. Well, not a couple, when I'm saying 5 to 6 have called, requesting sessions, trying to get businesses started. You got a lot of interesting people doing home businesses, home-based businesses, things of that nature. And we're just trying our best to get them off, get them a good foundation and start on the right track as far as, you know, getting their paperwork. Helping them to access the resources that they need based upon their credit profile, how to get started, the capital, just directly helping the citizens. I was wondering if this would be a passion for and we're trying to get him on the right track so he can do it legally, if I can say it that way. Meet all the requirements, health requirements that the city's put in place. So that's how I report. That's what we've been doing. Are there any questions for you? Thank you.
All right. 2024-2025 Bertie County School Budget Presentation.
Good morning, commissioners, and gentlemen of the audience. I'm going to present our operating budget for Bertie County Schools. And before I get started, I just want to thank my staff that I think is important that switched up in a minute to be here. Thank you, my chair, Ms. Ruben Carlton is here, and Vice Chair Ms. Bernetta Henderson. Also, Ms. Charlene Jones is here, who wasn't here with the action, she's now our chief financial officer. So, you all have the budget book in front of you. Our fan is on the screen in front of the audience and social media, you know, the web. And of course, you'll see the PowerPoint is a very condensed version of it. Nothing in the book that you see here. Let me just apologize for some things. I saw some errors that I said was there are just a couple of errors. But won't say nothing. I won't say nothing. I won't even point them out. All right, next slide, please. Of course, that's the cover page. And then on section one, I'm trying to label this book by section to make it convenient. But the next step is section one, and that's my little man Jackson there. I always include Jackson most of my people. But we have some kids that I could include because what we did, all right, next slide. So I didn't put the whole in the PowerPoint, but just some things I want to point out from my message. As we've been operating in 2024, that Bertie County School is a performing district. So that's really a low performance. State superintendent and the state board present for two county schools with all the little trailblazers and awards for our accomplishments on early learning and letters. We were one of four districts in the state that received that award because of our scores and students they had against. Our EOG, EOC scores are up. And we didn't, it increases up to 20% of the points now, 25% of the points. We did not budget grade. And six of the seven schools met or exceeded our points this year. And we hope we can get some as we deliver the testing these next 2 weeks. We're about to start doing walkthroughs to get punch list items done for that. So I'm sure you've ridden by there. The track is all done and the water and the irrigation system is on the field. So we're looking for a great fall athletic season out there. And of course, right here in this space, the state superintendent presented us with a $15 million check from the, that we received from the body of funds to the body project on the CTE. Currently, they are the CTE, most of the CTE classes across the street of the Ohio High School. So we want to put the same campus for safety reasons and transportation reasons, et cetera. And of course, I got our teacher turnover report for 23, which is coming down. It was 15.3% in 21, 4.7% in 23. It's lower than the average, which is 20% of the body. Of course, I've never been told about our teacher housing complex. It's 99.9% of the So those are just the highlights that I've added in my superintendent's message. Next slide is our priorities. And everything we do is our future plan. We really need to try to link it back to this document. We can't map it to anything that we do in our strategic plan. Then we don't say it's not worth doing. So we just want to make sure we're giving the people and those people the best experience that we can give them while they give it to us. Section three is the local planning budget. So this looks very familiar to the last few years. What we requested from the county appropriations, $1 million. These are projected numbers for fine and forfeitures, $70,000. A quarter cent sales tax, $275,000. And we'll have about $300,000. So that'd be a total of $0.6 million. And that's going to pay the budget. You can see enrollment there. That's on page 7. We can see what we've done over the last few years in that appropriation. So certainly we want to thank the county for being consistent with our funding and being a big supporter of Bertie County public schools. Our fund balance, which we're doing quite well with our fund balance. Since I've been here, the fund balance is a little more than double. So we're very good. Try to make sure our finances are solid. So we won't have to come back to you in every instance when you ask them. But to make sure that we just in a good position in business, we can operate this time. So that's why to make sure our kids can still get the best education experience possible. Section four. So, of course, in your budget book, you got some beautiful charts, and you can see percentages of how you plan on spending the money of each category, like student services and second and CNI, and things like that. But it's a little bit over 3.6 in the total request. Section four is our local restricted revenue. That's just what we're forecasting right there. Like instruction takes up 80% of the budget. But these are restricted items. And these are things we charge indirect costs with federal grants that we can help us out and put it back in local, or some of our grants that we write that we receive money for that we put in our local budget. Right, section 5 is capital outlay. All right, so that total is $375, and that's consistent with every other year that we've asked for capital outlay. On page 20 of the manual, you can see the pie chart of the request that we're always requested by department and a percentage. But the district office, you can see the breakdown of what we plan on spending the $375. And of course, we have some aging buildings. What we try to do, what we try to make sure that we're there. In our district office, we have quite a few challenges that we got to kind of work through. So that's why typically I don't like to put that much money in the central office, because people will start talking about you as they say we're sliding schools. But our office, of course, is the old high school, but it's quite a few challenges to take care of public infrastructure and heavy in the parking lot is all the air causing trees and all that stuff. There used to be a wooded area down there. Drainage. So some things that we have to do at the central office to make, that's why that number's a little bit high. Section, also section 5, let's see on page 31 of your manual. So of course, you know, we sold last year, or this year, we closed asking for a preacher last year on the $1 million. Of course, we weren't expecting that much, but we're very grateful that we do it, because it's going to allow us to take care of some very high priority capital needs. So of course, we got, like I said, $1 million. And there, the things that has to happen in the next little while. So we got to try to figure out, that's what the money's going to tackle those projects. So for example, like Rose Elementary, the chiller is basically, it's working, but it's on its last leg. So we've already ordered that chiller. So that can be ready for school when school opens. That's $200,000. That's not going to come out of that. So that's, but as you can see by school, those are the big ticket items. My roof or HVAC item. I said it's a little projects. So we're gonna have conversations in the house about which ones that's in most critical need, so we can go and get that time. With that money. That money won't good HVAC systems as well for the kids. All right, section 6 is our state planning budget allotment. Of course, this could change, but this is what we got for state planning. See, a little over $21 million. Granted to 24-25. It's a little bit less than what we had this year. But of course, we're projected to have it's less going into 24-25 than we did in 23-24. That's about a 2% really decrease into next year. Of course, my book has come apart. So the report is very detailed about the labor contract, but it's 80% of structural services, like I said earlier. Most of every budget, construction is the biggest part. Federal planning, it's federal money. But we have to be doing a federal money. Kind of consistent with what we've been doing. And Section 8 is Child Nutrition. Because Child Nutrition is an enterprise fund. It's federal dollars too. But Child Nutrition has to take care of itself through sales. Sales and reimburse the meals from USDA. So we're expecting about $1.9 million in Child Nutrition. A salary benefits will cost us about $857, and operating expenses will be a little over $1 million. And we've been fortunate not to have to put any local in our Child Nutrition program at this point, a lot of districts, because of rising costs and workers and kids, food prices going up, kids are always eating meals. It's been a gap. But at this point, we've been fortunate not to have to put in a local money into Child Nutrition. Hopefully that won't start anytime soon. So that's all the funds for the budget section. That's about the temporary risk to the budget, not the only other budget. Have risk to it. Of course, you know, OT, you have to be kind of over, and that's synonymous with our schools. Like I said earlier, the funding clear for lesser funds are gone as of September 30th. And one thing that all of us need to be worried about is, you know, sometimes legislation is, I have to be careful with what I say. Nobody to have me on the news talking about what the General Assembly is not doing for us. You know, we appreciate everything that they do, but you know, with the school choice and voucher, that's becoming a bigger deal. More money into the voucher program. They've already exceeded the limits. Like, they plan on putting $463 million over the next 2 years into the school choice voucher program. And of course, you know, that's going to hurt public schools. And of course, eventually hurt funding for public schools. So watch HB 823. And if you feel prone to reach out to contact your legislators about that, it would be good for us to the school district, because we have more and more monies going into the charter school. And not only charter schools, but food choice schools. And for families who can afford private schools that do qualify for these, they don't kind of qualify. So you have wealthy families that can get some of this voucher money. It's a school we're already going to for the school. So that's a piece of written legislation that's not really pro-public. The state president has allotments for counselors and coaches, but this day of schooling is not like it used to be. And if you see an adult that increased student needs, and education is very dynamic, it's complex. It's not a one size fits all. Now it's a little bit more complex. So sometimes, even though we get allotments for APs, we still have schools that don't have APs. It's just a principal. And principal accountability does not go down, it's not going up, but it's not affected the need. So sometimes they shift and this stuff out of nowhere, because you may have smaller schools. Every principal needs some help in the building. So we're trying to be creative now, so we can put coaches, since the principal in the building is in the back, where we may not get enough, like counseling in every building. And so, those are part of the strategic plan to converge buildings, so people have to be split between Atlanta and Westport T or Corrine and Windsor, like counselors and media coordinators, that we have less buildings, we have staff to fit the needs of kids in buildings, and be split back and forth. So, of course, that's a risk to our budget. Out of district transfers, and I said we'd be careful how I say this too, but we get transfers a lot every year for folks that want to join districts that surround us. But when I look at the numbers are really not any better than ours. Matter of fact, every district that touches us is a low performing district at this point. right here in this corridor in the Northeast. And it's not to say anything about it because it's easy to slip in their performance than the great system is, but people say that like Bertie is not doing well, but we're doing just as well as others in our area, in our neighborhood, and just as well as a lot of districts in the state. Absolutely. But you're comparable to the folks that are right here. And of course, we do, like I said, the charter schools. We have, let's say, 4, 8, 15 kids currently that live in Bertie that are going to those charter schools that are listed there. Then, of course, we always have retirement hospitals, rates that increase, and utility rates. So, those are things that could always be a threat to our budget. All right, 17 on the next slide. Just some updates on the future facilities plan. Did the three phases, and the board approved those three phases over the last 3 years. So at the end of this year, Orlando's closing. And it's really, Orlando's not totally merging with West Bertie, but of course, some of those kids will go to West Bertie, Windsor, and Foray, because we're going to have to redraw the lines when we look at bus routes and things like that. So, but Orlando will close at the end of the year, and it's for sale. So just for the bad, you know, it'll be for sale. You are the first, it'll be for sale in just a little while. Then of course, hopefully we can get started with these wing addition. Plans will be presented to my board next month about the building, how it will look, the CTE wing that's gonna be added to the backside of the high school. But hopefully we can start on that fall of 2026. All right, of course, that money is available with the lottery funds that we received, that we wrote the grant for. All right, like I mentioned earlier, the outdoor learning space is now about to complete. Everything that we had in that original plan is there except the tennis courts. So we got to beat the pavement again for some more grant money to find about $1 million. I can't still, it's hard to believe. I think it's $1 million, right, Mr. White? About $1 million to add the tennis courts. And it's hard to believe that a tennis courts would cost $1 million, but that's where we are. And then of course, section 11 is our budget resolution that my board voted on and approved. Budgets that we plan on operating in the interim until the state budget is approved. So that's it for the formal presentation. Just want you to know that this is the graduation season. The invitation you'll get them. The early college graduation is before. The last day of school for the early college is 22nd. Like I said, we're in Texas. If you plan, if they don't have the testing opportunity, they would be very long. My traditional school, my SEL school is Friday, 31st. High school and graduation from Bertie High is Saturday, June 1st at 9 o'clock. Right? If there are any questions, I'll give it to Commissioner White. I'll take
them. Thank you for your presentation, Dr. Smallwood.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I want to commend not just you, but the board and the public school system here. You guys have done some significant work, significant improvement, significant gains over the last few years. And just in my conversation with citizens, I was out at Mount Olive yesterday, or people were talking about, they could see and feel, you know, what's happening in our school system, that things are improving significantly. I mean, there was a lot of talk about the new wing and adding the, you know, the new skill services, you know, to that, right. And that was important to them. I do have a couple of questions, though, concerning HBO 823. My understanding is that
They did put a significant amount of money in that. The governor just requested that second phase of money not go in, as I understand. And it looks like that may happen. They keep that happening. So I understand the impact of the charter schools with 15 kids, but what about homeschooling? Are we seeing much of that? Because I know a lot of communities are saying they're seeing a lot of kids go into homeschools because those funds are still available to them, right? Even in homeschooling, are we seeing much of homeschooling?
I think yes. One of the families homeschooling kids in Virginia. It's not many. It's not significant out here.
Are there any leaks on the landed property? Do you think there's?
Have a serious conversation about these. I think it's fascinating to mention that it would be a good property for this or that or whatever. But no real contenders at this point. I'm going to entertain a holdout conversation about it. I suppose, you know, it has been declared surplus. So after that happens, and of course, I tell people after this declared surplus, we have to offer the administration's funds. But no, not in a conversations, really like serious conversations.
About the small way.
Yes, sir. I have a great staff. I have a wonderful board. But no matter what, like I say, you need hard work. Everybody has a heart to be right for kids. That's the most critical thing. We've made strides. Yes, we got some work to do. Absolutely, but we're in a better place.
Anybody have anything else?
Thank you, Commissioner. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Next on the agenda is going to be 2024-2025 Virtue County presentation.
Virtue County Board of Commissioners, community partners and constituents, staff, and lastly but not least, citizens and taxpayers of Virtue County, good morning. We are here once again. I am delighted to present the budget plan for fiscal year 2024-2025.
So first, just briefly, this is an overview of the composition of the budget. Of course, we have the general fund, and that's where I will spend most of the time today is talking about general fund and also our water district fund, but some of the other funds that we also have for the benefit of the public who can't see the screen. Social services fund, capital school reserve fund, telephone system fund, revaluation fund, opioid settlement fund, and fire service.
So, I have to start with his historical discussion about fund balance and how far we have come. A few years ago, we were allocating fund balance very regularly. We were to balance the budget. So, if you notice back in 2017, you see an original budget of 1.2, final budget of 1.8 for fund balance appropriated. 18, it goes up.
19, it goes up. 2020, it goes down a little bit. But that's when we were notified that our fund balance percentage as a percentage of general fund expenditures was 1%. 1%. And so since that time, since 2021, we have not appropriated any fund balance in our original budget or in our final budget. So now, since that time, since 2020, our fund balance has grown over $2 million. So happy to say that. That is tremendous growth. And just when we, this year, the auditor just presented at our last regular meeting, and she told us that our fund balance, available fund balance, now we're there, and they think that on basically that local government units have a fund balance of 20%. And the median for units our size is 39%. So we still have some work to do, but we have come a very long way, and I'm very grateful that we have done the work. Okay, so now our general fund. So back in 2017, we were at 22 million. It went up 2020, 25 million, and then we noticed that we were having a problem with our fund balance. We started cutting, and it was going down to 23, 24 this year. We went up a little bit, and I have been proposing that we control even more this fiscal year. Question is, how are we going to do that? Next slide, please. So now, let's take a look at what our tax rate has been, and let's take a look at where I'm proposing that we go. So back in 2017, we were at 84 cents, increased the tax rate. In 2018, took it down a penny. It stayed that way for 2 years, and then it went up 3.5 cents to 86.5 cents. So it has been that way for 5 years, and I would love for it to stay that way, but we have needs. We have growing needs. So for the first time since I've been here, I am recommending a tax increase. A tax increase of 1.5 cents. So we would go from, if the board agrees and this is passed, we would go from 86.5 cents to 88 cents. And so you'll notice, if all of the requests that we received were honored, that would take us up to over 95 cents. Okay. Of course, not going to do that, but I am recommending that we take it up a penny and a half, which would take us to 88 cents or $100 evaluation. Okay, so let's take a look at our revenue factors. The value of the 100% of tax collection rate would be $143,598 almost. So with our collection rate that we had last week, we're trying to get about $140,000. So that said, if we penny and a half would generate about $210,000, a little bit over $200,000. Right. So now we are to look at the tax increase, and we still raise up at least 97%. And we do anticipate and project for sales tax to increase. Okay, so now where is all this money going? Let's take a look at
so, this budget composition
included two new positions. We talked about it for a while, and about finance and records for a while. More than ever, we can utilize enough in the finance office for succession planning, even the auditor. So it's important to have another person for that. We also are including an IT position. That IT position would be half of the time they were working DSS. And of course, 50% of that time would be KYC. And the other 50% of the time, they would be working for Berkeley County in our IT department. So that means they could work in you know, whatever needs we had across the board in any particular department that employee would serve the county as a whole. So in addition to that, this budget also includes a salary increase, across the board increase of 3%. And of course, we have several capital appropriations on the next slide. But of course, our special appropriations are still in the budget for the generously geared to Berkeley County Schools, as well as the school capital outlay, Martin Community College, their capital outlay, Roanoke Tawan Community College, Berkeley Martin Region, and of course, we have many others when it comes to the football. Capital purchases. And IT, that is number one. We've been doing having a lot of discussions about this. There are just a couple of really big purchases that we have to add here. We're thinking a Wi-Fi just for better security. We have to have some switches and some servers. And we can get more into that, Joe, our IT guy. And they can tell you all about that. But they can't do that. Well, 8 years old, and we have to update them. They have to be updated to replace. So, emergency services are included. There's some radios, actually, emergency services and communication. There's some radios that will be obsolete as December 2025. To replace all our radio. Leave it up there. To be done to our buildings when it just comes to regular maintenance and upkeep. Parks and recreation, there's some leveling of the fields and things that we have to do to ensure that our athletes are safe. Don Mazzell has said that quite a few of our fields. And then Council on Aging, a piece of software that would be very helpful in our goal of access. So I am recommending that be included as well. And these are just the snapshot of the main capital projects, capital purchases, but there are. Okay, so of course, this is for everyone's benefit and knowledge. Of course, at the last fiscal year, the fire protection services, county, as well as all of our besides the winter. Of course, the purpose is to finance, provide, and maintain fire and rescue services. The goal is to maintain the level of service that we provide and strengthen that. And the taxes is a little bit over 3 cents. And because Windsor is not a part of the service district, we still appropriate $14,500 to Windsor. That is one of the things that also put us on the unit assistance list, but right around overall budget of the water department, 2018, we think a few points. Some of we're seeing our revenue, we're doing a lot of replacement of equipment. But it's really hard to see about 2.6 and 22. And we can maintain something 2.7 for 22. Okay, so what is next? Next week, Tuesday and Wednesday, we have budget work sessions starting at 10 o'clock. And the commission, and on June 6th, we have our budget hearing, and we will adopt between June 6th and June 30th. Are there any questions? We'll get it to you, item by item, and see exactly what's in our budget. Work sessions, I'll be glad to.
Tricks for a second.
This one, I don't
want to. Yeah. Is Blue Jay in here?
He's yeah. I
Blue Jay would be unincorporated.
One of the points you mentioned is that we have not had a ad valorem tax increase in the last 5 years. Right? The citizens need to understand that means that if you're running a household, the same amount of income that you have, and we know how much prices have increased over the last 5 years. But we're still trying to run this county over a value of money that's 5 years old. And that's ridiculous. We cannot do that. And that's why virtually every county around us and most, even though they have substantially larger fund houses, are still raising taxes. Not because they want to, because they have to. We need to learn a little bit about where we are today. Okay, you cannot do that. When you came in, told me our mandate is that we're not going to continue to do this. And you held to that. When they were the first one to answer, I see the budget, right? So let's say that everything worked out exactly what we planned. Revenue comes in as we planned, exactly. As we planned, exactly. And that means we stay exactly where we are.
Possibly. Go ahead.
No. Exactly what we think. Expenditure. We don't gain a cent on budget. And we know that's not likely to be revenue.
Right. There's always some fluctuations throughout the fiscal year.
The risk is that we still could decrease if expenditures come in.
As we've been through the year, we've had an issue.
Yes.
The only way to finish this is how's that get made up?
You see what you're doing with this? How does the $270,000 get made up for if you only have one in absent?
Exactly. And the reason I'm saying that is because that money was already allocated. Okay, in the budget. So where are we coming up with that at?
Where are we coming up with?
The $270,000.
You're talking about this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have to look for ways to not because it's there. Our sales department heads, you know, and especially this close to the fiscal, the end of the fiscal, if it's not something absolutely necessary, and, don't feel like it. So
just a matter of taking a look at where you are.
Well, when we get to this point, you know, we'll be discussing these things because we can't be razor thin anymore.
You're looking. Based on what happened in 2020, this kind of deal can impact what we spend, right? I mean, we have not seen those. We know we have a deficit right trying to make that $270,000. We don't make that up, right?
What to enlighten me? What's the two? What's the
270 is where there was an over appropriate as far as they misfigured what the property taxes were
going on. Okay.
So $270,000 got to do was what come in that was already allocated in 23.
Mm-hmm.
So, you just read it up. Are we getting that exactly back or what we're doing?
Well, that said would be needed for this fiscal year, and we're monitoring it now. So we're not in a place where, of course, having the 270 as planned would be great. But
the 270 is 23, 24, correct?
Right. Yes. Okay. Yes.
And then we go 24, 25.
Correct.
So.
So, yeah, again, we just have a financial report. Each month, we give you the financial reports, and we're not at a point where we're overly concerned. Sometimes things can come up at any point, but we're not at a point where we are overly concerned or nervous about having a deficit because of that, that era that you mentioned.
I finally got it. So the 270 that we appropriated this patch, I mean, right here, this year, right?
Was appropriated or didn't receive?
Well, both. You budgeted and we didn't receive.
Correct.
Yes, sir. Right. And we didn't receive. So that's why he's saying the negative $270,000. Okay. So what he's saying is like next year, we're still, you're increasing, proposal is in 3.5%. It doesn't even make up for the 270 that we're not getting this year. And you're including more money to spend more money next year.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. Go ahead.
Now,
we're still
we have the chief.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, the point, David, if you're right, we're not running out of debt, but we were counting on this year to further increase our fund balance.
That's right.
And that's going to be cut now by $270,000, which is over 2 cents. So that hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I think we're still going to be positive. That's a good thing. But going forward, like in a budget, we need some kind of, it has to be balanced. But we need to be planning for what are we looking to increase fund balance in that year. So that means that we have to have expenditures being less than new money coming in.
That's right.
In order to grow that fund balance. And we don't do that. We do it for balance and we say, well, if it happens, it happens. They have to be a little bit of a plan to guarantee it as best we can.
There's other questions I'm going to have on the 28th that we don't need to talk about here before, but more pump balance in to echo our assistant county manager. It's like he says, small people are being paid all the office or whatever.
Let me also say this one. I think you've done a tremendous job. It's going to be too far. Making sure that we live within our means. Just got to make sure that we can do that and can pick up the pace. Because a lot of things coming to us next year that we know of, like by broadband expense, we're going to have to pay if we deliver to what we promised to our constituents.
And that money is not calculated, and it's going to be substantial, like some bit of matching dollars, grants, right, that we already have. Those things don't happen unless we find the funds to pay the matching piece, which all the other things we were so blessed to receive this year.
So that's paid for those operations. Mr. Truth, please. Yeah. Okay. Right. You see the barrel in the 23? Okay. You see 22. And you said 2020 had a lot of expenses, right?
Correct.
Carol, there. We need to revisit the overhead is. I think we had, I think it was $2.6 million at one time, was what the overhead was, and wish we got to relook at that again because that right there shows about
$100,000. There was something on right after COVID, there were a lot of funds. This year, that big gap, you know.
But also see it narrowing. It's still narrowing. Come on, some problems are coming. We just need to visit. We don't want to be in the same shoes we were 5 years ago with management.
Everyone, you're a good job. Speak of the people, you know, we got over $600,000 in taxes not being paid by the city. You know what I mean? And if everybody taxes, we could get that maybe 500. It would be more money that we could serve the people with. You know what I mean? For tax increases. And picking their property taxes. It's ridiculous.
All right, view of the budget timeline. Budget work session will be the 28th of May, 10 a.m., Commissioner's Room. Budget work session will be the 29th, 10 a.m., Commissioner's Room. And then the budget hearing for June 6th. Which is really up.
No.
All right. Next on the agenda, if we go to the all contracts and all the writing, contract architect and also contract $1.3 million, to build an animal shelter, and to see what direction we go into now, to see what direction we go in. Have we got it on the screen?
Can we find a look at them? Have you got the
blue fresh and tarot? Thanks.
So you can save from back. Save from the
Okay, that's on the addition of side elevation to the that was drawn by the architect. What's his name? And we keep on moving through the architectural fit. They've got as far as the building does. It's not a pre-engineered metal building. What we submitted to the architect, David, you saw the architect, correct?
I just want to provide it to everyone who did it as an example of what
we're looking at. Okay. Yeah, you can tell them what our budget number was, correct?
At that time. We told them that we were the budget we had again.
Okay. What we've got here versus what we have, it's two different animals. This right here is what standards are. What the state expects, what we have there is completely different than here. That is not a pre-engineered building. That is a full construction building, where if you got a pre-engineered building, which just was drawn by a set of engineers, not an architect, the pre-engineered building, which would be metal, standing seam, roof with 26 gauge, just different than the county EMS building one on County Farm Road, no different than any of the buildings. And the basketball gym out there. This right here meets standards of what we got, but that's not what we have here. This here is a very elaborate set of drawings, very elaborate, even though square footage size is not as around. This one here is a 312 pitch on it. You can see that one there. It has some sort of California front roof style on it. Concrete block, two-bay top door, nice flat nature. Two-bay plate. You go back to the elevation picture that we have the other. This is basic, but it meets all the needs that we're supposed to have. Because Carroll County had it done. Yes, and when I said the county manager was looking for it, we got something different than the county manager was looking for. Them.
We asked for a proposal, but we didn't identify it. We didn't do it. We had it.
But see, that's where the mistake is. That can't be a sanity for Burton County to be acknowledged. But here we have such a pre-engineered building, slab, be done, the housing these animals right here, it's already material. The engineers focus on generic. I was explained to them that they did not hit. Okay. And they did not want to do it.
Well, I can tell you, other people want to do it. So another building back setting. But see, we got to figure out what direction and how we're going to do this. Management has.
Yes, sir. As we discussed with me and David, you came up with about ideas of ways that costs could be reduced. And so we've had a conversation with the architect. I thought the perfect thing to do was take that information back before the architect. And so we are awaiting a response. But then we had a discussion about it. He wanted us to email so he could talk to the construction company, A.R. Cheston, about it to confirm it. Appropriate ways to reduce the costs. And so once he gets back with us and gives us the information, we're
And thank you for that, because I have been waiting 3 weeks now for a response.
It's a process. Is it
right? Uh-huh. But we have a better job drawing to meet the understand there's some state guidelines, right?
Yes, sir.
But as state guidelines, but they drew to the guidelines at a different building and a different price. Let me give you an example. We went to the we knew how much money we had. There were several different plans. We chose one that would match our money, even though we still had to raise $1 million above that. But we knew that that's all we were going to have to raise. Actually, $1.1 million, because we didn't need a place to pay another rent. So this architect really did not serve us well, right? I mean, if you tell a person, this is what we've got to work with in mind, this is what we want, we understand that there's some criteria requirements from the state, then draw something as close as possible to the money we have to spend, right? And remember when we questioned him, he says, well, you know, it's not my responsibility on the cost. The contractors are going to bid. But if you design something that even was outside of our price range, and let me say something.
He did it in the 7th, what we needed. And he also identified that it was too costly. When he came up, he told you, he came up with a secondary plan and showed you that plan as well.
And it was too costly.
I'm just saying, I don't think he did you poorly. He did what we asked him to do, to present a plan for Mercy County Animal Shelter.
No,
Dave, I'm just not.
What does he design? What I want or what he wants? He designs what I want based on my money. And that's the same thing that the folks that this architect has told us. Well, there are some specs that the state requires that your money won't pay for. He could sell us that. And we could have negotiated
and
that.
They didn't show that.
I'm not
going to
tell
you what we did this building right here, okay? We had five architects come in front of us. They knew we had $5 million. Okay? Each one of them gave us an elevation. That this thing will come in. We had one guy out of Virginia, okay? We can't even have conversation. It's been 3 weeks since we've called to have this conversation. And we want to have a conversation because it's not that important. Okay, irregardless, if you took okay, that we put together by an engineering firm, and there's more than just one out there. This is the least expensive way to build a dog shelter, and it has everything to be a dog shelter. But we've got to move forward and do something. Now, request was, we talked about in reference to things we thrown out. He's going to tell you what he drew is what he drew. He doesn't deal with three months of and that's what it's going to come to. They're all over the place. That need to be fit. This is now, if you want to consult someone, back with us.
He did actually respond there with a big.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
To specify the project manual and to indicate it on the draw. It references cite all the departments and designated to meet North Carolina State Uniform Building Code. 6-inch structural steel studs must meet all the requirements and represent the minimum necessary to meet the code. Rooftop can it be adjusted to 12-inch. The roof is lower than 6-12-10. The roof structure is 3-5-7-5-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7-7- This approach is a very effective and cost-effective. Enables very direct access via the building, keeping the space, also maintain the system. Using the system as well, eliminates the location access via the network. The question we have is, can be removed in the cost-effective? The response is the attic space is required to satisfy the building build of the key and pictures in addition to respond. The main and stop of that afterflow required of the time in addition to the command
And down the sides and where it's top. The building here has metal so the dog all the way around it. You get to the dog. This has a difficult thing. It's the roof that we're supposed to be at. And it's also North Carolina code. When we built that building on county for EMS building, built on a different code because it's an emergency service building. We went from 120 miles to 50 mile an hour. Because emergency services, that's what it has to be. And under the same circumstances, this right here is the same building, just not the same. As again, we talk about CQ walls here, okay? There's an installation here. They're all the way from the office building. I'm just saying that we didn't give them. Okay? They don't do the kids in the minutes.
Nobody should be.
The whole question.
This is how much money. This is what we're asking. Judy, I think this is something I can get. And then what I just read, he just tried to jump. That's possible based on what he built. I'm not concerned about what he built. He can't afford what he built. What he should have done is say, this is what I can build to meet the budget, as close to your budget, and satisfy the requirement. And if there were things that took us over that, they should have been identified to us before presenting us with a final draw. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to work. You go to a builder and say, I want to build this house. This is what I got. And you build this for me. He'll say, I can't build you that, but I can build you this, or I can get as close to that. He doesn't just build you something that, you know, what he thinks you should have. That doesn't even come close to the money you have. I feel like he owes us something different. He owes us something. If we say this, we hired you to do this. Draw us, give us a plan to our and our if it can be done for sure, it can be done for us. So look, but tell us where the cost goes over there. Let's give us. This is what I built. And he showed and he told us what?
He brought us in the first he brought back a smaller footprint. Exactly smaller than what we have now. Pending his work, I'm not considering anybody. I realize we don't have one, you know, to build this. If you can call, and I'm supposed to start this.
And I said,
for somebody to build a community county at $1.5 million, that was spent today, and you spent it prior to that also. You're absolutely correct.
Saying,
I'm fine with the fact
that
who presented
any type of
contract,
one of those,
and none of
it didn't ask
information. It doesn't build anything. A general contractor. All can present a plan. We're hiring, wait a minute, we're hiring him to present a plan. And if he can't do that, then he should attempt to. Because he doesn't determine what the price is going to be. That's what we've been it out for. All he has to do is prepare a plan that can best fit the agenda and the dollars we have. And if he can't hold it, none of them could meet our standard.
But we didn't want it.
The first one is that no, he didn't want to announce it. Something less.
Chopped on.
We're going ahead to get us.
That
would be you, great.
Right?
You know what, David? When you bring us an apple, right, and it's supposed to be an orange, because that's all we got, right? What are we supposed to, okay? We go back to the same meat of everything. Okay. You turn around and you look at this, and this is what we wanted. This is what we were looking for. We never got it. I was adamant at that meeting, okay? We can't afford what this guy's drawing up. I said it myself. I said, fired any of them. He kept saying, $3 million. So it cost $900,000, okay? But we kept saying, we can't afford it. I kept saying, we can't do this. God, that's $600-something, $800-something a square foot. But we just, it just kept, management's got to be a piece of this thing as far as stopping it, okay? And if you've only got $300,000, why are we drawing something to $1.3 million? A, B, why are you bringing it to the county commissioners when we don't have anything audited that's worth $1.3 million wrong, okay? For us to approve. It was still obvious on that. No approved contract. Okay, but you can't do that because we don't have $1.3 million. Back there, he gave it to the distraction. Okay, and that's the deal. So, I mean, we got something, we paid for it, but we didn't get what we were looking for.
But this is so far outside of what we have. And it's just.
I understand your frustrations, commissioners. However, everyone that we spoke to about animal filter told us that we would not build one. We cannot need $200,000.
They are not general contractors. They are on a plan that will come as close to that as possible.
We not.
Even when we discussed the plan with them, as well, you know, I'm not controlled of that. That's what you are. That's what the general contractor.
Do we know how much the one interior company cost?
How much? Thank you. So if it's tripled in price, you're talking $375,000.
Okay.
You and I both know that. Just say. You're sitting here using chain link fence, okay? Block in between, block on the outside, chain link fence separation. Concrete part. This is nothing out of the standard building right here, International Building Code. Right here. What we got right there, I guess, is something they use in Richmond. Yeah, we could use it here. We ain't got the money to do it. Never had the money to do it. I think everyone at this board said that. I know I said it. Said it numerous times. And here we are. So I would suggest for management to get together and how we're going to get back to this and get back to the public and let us know.
Thank you.
That's your plan.
28th. Kind of emotional. First or second, reconvene is May 28th. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.